Anyway, hey guys, it's Lavetta.
And it's Miriam.
And this is the Notorious Women Podcast, a comedy podcast about some of history's most notorious women.
Yes.
Forgive my voice, I have a cold. And sometimes in the past when I've sounded this terrible, I actually felt better than the way, than I sounded. Yeah. But no, I actually sound, I feel as bad as I sound. I probably feel worse. So forgive me, guys. I thought I could get like one of those sexy husky voices that some of the ladies have. No, mine just sounds like a frog is like battling like
Lavetta,
inside. And I'm sorry.
I think you sound very sexy.
Oh, you're so sweet. This is why you're we're friends. Because you lie to me.
Yeah, to make me feel better. The best way.
That's what friends are for.
That's right. See, Listen, there's a song about it. That's what friends are for. See, it wasn't the notes, but the energy. I got the energy down.
Now, why is my mic moving? My mic stand never moves. I'm back home. Thank God.
Do you know? Thank God.
But
do you know
mic
why
stand...
it's moving? I'll tell you why it's moving.
Okay, I got it. Why?
Yeah, it's because you're a
ghost. Yeah, and everything's bothering me, and yeah. I want to eat ice cream, but ice cream is the worst thing you can eat when you have a cold, so I'm not going to do that.
Yeah,
I'm just going to have more soup and crackers and orange juice.
Yeah, orange juice.
And I'm going to get in bed. You know, for my flight, I actually downloaded Bad Boys for Life. So I'm going to watch it. But when I was on the plane, even though I bought it and downloaded it, it said it wasn't bought or downloaded. So I watched like Trading Places.
Oh, that's a great one.
Dirty Rotten Scoundrels.
Oh my God. So good.
And I downloaded a couple episodes of that Netflix show, Supercell. It's a British, like black British show about black people who have like, it's kind of like a comic book. They have superpowers. It seems to come from like, which is really cool. Like they've tied it to sickle cell. You know, sickle cell anemia affects predominantly black people, like
yes, it does.
At a higher proportion. And so it's kind of cool that they use something like that. And like, it's also like uniquely black and British, which is really cool because they're in England versus black British people pretending to be African-American people, which is always disconcerting as an African-American. Cause you're like, that accent sounds a little off. Like what is going on here? But it's also new faces, which is really refreshing.
Oh, and I like that.
At first I was like, I don't know about this because it's kind of set, not kind of set, it's set, it's like a lot of different people, right? So you're following these different people and you're like, well, how do they come together in the end or whatever? But a lot of it is also set in the estates, quote unquote, the hood in British. They call it, it's basically the projects. It's called the estates in England.
Oh my God, I just learned something and now I'm more cultural than most people.
Well, that's I'm an Anglophile. I told you I'm really English. Like, I
know. Like, I told Sal that like when we make it, we're getting BritBox. Like when we are people.
BritBox is not that expensive, Miriam. Like you can totally get BritBox now.
I am the person. I will spend money like an asshole. Okay, I will. But then every so often I'm like cheap as fuck. I'm like, I'm not buying those tomatoes because these tomatoes are 67 cents cheaper. And I'm an asshole. You know what I'm saying?
I'm that way about valeting, but it's literally like
$5.99
a month.
I don't have $5.99 a month, Lavetta. I absolutely don't.
But
okay.
This is on Netflix. You can watch it, Supercell. And like, at first I was like, I don't know. But then it got really good. And like, I feel like the characters are really good because my hesitation was that it's set in like the hood, right? And I was like, really? We got to show black people in the hood. But then there's like upwardly mobile black people, which is great. So it's a good mix.
So it's like a balance thing.
Yeah. And I'm like, why? And it's so interesting because they're in the UK. So you don't really see guns a lot. Occasionally you'll see gun, which is a big deal. But there's a lot of stabbing. And I'm thinking, as an American who there's guns everywhere, I'm like, you got stabbed a little bit. It's not a big deal.
Just got poked a little bit. It's like nothing.
Which is not true. Being stabbed is terrible.
No, it sucks. It sucks.
But like, but I like the new fresh faces. I think it's really good. And I got into that. But then like, I only downloaded three. So then I was like, so now that I'm sick, I'm after this, I'm going to take a shower, get in bed, and I'm going to slather down in Vicks Vapor Rub again.
There you go. Yep.
And I'm going to order some more orange juice and I'm just going to like
food. Yes.
Yeah. Have some soup. I got that. And like, I've been putting ginger in it, which really does help shorten your cold.
You told me this.
And yeah.
I was like, so, I know. Wait, because of you. Okay.
And I like garlic too. And there's no one here, so I don't have to worry about offending anybody. I love garlic.
I don't worry about offending anybody in my house. If they're offended, they can leave. It's my house. My poor husband. I know. So, but
I just want to get in bed. It's just so with that said, I think we should get started.
Let's get started.
Thank you so much, guys. We were out last week because I was traveling and sick and a lot of stuff going on. So thank you for listening to that repeat episode that we had last week, which was really good.
Listen, that was a good one.
Yeah, about E.G. Carroll and Magdalena Solis. So thank you for checking that out. But also, before we get started, I do want to read. We have two new reviews.
Yay.
So, guys, if you want to help us out, help our show out, you can leave us a 5-star review as well in the Apple Store. It helps people find us. And, you know, you listen, you can either give us a review or money or both. So
how about, you know, both? I'm just.
Yeah. I mean,
I like options and both is a good one.
We like options. But if you can only do one thing, we will always take the money. But well, I digress. that did not go well. No.
No.
In all honesty, no. Yeah. Please leave us a 5-star review if you have time. And today we actually have two new 5-star reviews. One is from DeSass BH Free in June, left us a review that said, Notorious Women is so smart, funny, and insightful. Thank you. Thank you, DeSass BH Free. I really, really appreciate that. Or Fre.
Yeah, I do too.
It's F-R-E. Thank you so much. And then we also have a wonderful one that was also left in June from Frebony. And said, day one listener, proud to say I've been listening to this podcast since the very beginning. Aww. Ashamed to say I'm just now writing a review. Always
no worries.
Look forward to the incredible stories being told. Literally learn something new every week. So thank you, Frebony. And I believe that actually might be a friend of mine, Ebony, who is a fantastic writer. And you should check out her stuff. Look her up. Her name is Ebony Freeman. Ebony is amazing.
That sounds like that's her.
Yes.
That's
and awesome. I actually really respect that. This is cool because Ebony is not only a great friend, but she is incredibly smart and intelligent. And the fact that she took the time out of her busy, busy schedule to write this review means that you can too, listeners. So
Nevada is literally throwing everybody else shade right now. And I'm here for it.
I'm sick. Cut me some slack. No, I'm just.
Witty, please.
You know, my inside, avatar is Brain from Pinky and the Brain, right?
Oh my God.
I love Brain because he's always plotting to take over the world.
I'm definitely Pinky in the scenario. Like, I know that.
No. I'm a mixture of Pinky and Brain. And so they're always fighting.
Don't lie. You know, I'm Pinky.
Pinky is just like, like dark, like just everything catches Pinky's attention.
Yeah.
And Brain is like, focus. Pinky and the Brain is always in my heart. So.
Guys, go to Hulu and look up Animaniacs and then you'll understand what it is the hell we're talking about. Okay.
Pinky and the Brain is truth. Well, it's life. So on that note, my dear, I believe you are first this week.
That's
so
me.
Who is your notorious woman this week?
So I was thinking about the world and I was thinking we don't talk enough about rich white ladies. I just... You know, where are
you? You are coming for the white ladies. Listen, I'm staying out of it. But no, Miriam, you're coming for the white ladies the past couple of weeks.
I gotta say, I have been. I know.
Yeah.
I was just like, you know, we need to balance the world out. And here I am trying to balance it out. Because some of them do terrible things. All right. But this one did not do terrible things.
Okay.
Surprisingly. Now, here's the thing. I'm going to talk about Melinda Gates. Okay.
Yes. Okay.
Now, when I set out to research her, I kind of realized, like I do almost everyone I think I know, that I actually only know her through the patriarchy, the patriarchal society that told me what I should know about her was that she is Bill's wife. And then, you know, she's rich as fuck, but obviously she married Bill and thus she's Bill's wife. And so I was like, wait, that doesn't sound right. So
yeah, we know she's much more than that.
She's much more than that.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Actually, like, she's stepping it up.
Yeah, but she's way out of Bill's league. I just want to say this.
Oh, she
is. So the
is.
Fact they're divorced, I'm like, does he think he can get another woman as high quality as Melinda Gates?
Absolutely.
No.
No. She is too smart and too much better than that man.
And too beautiful. Okay. I'm just saying. Like,
oh, she's gorgeous.
When you saw them together, I was like, how did he bag her? And she's intelligent.
That is so nice of her to marry him. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
So sweet.
So.
Okay. So she was born Melinda Ann French on August 15th, 1964 in Dallas, Texas. She's the second of four children. Her father's Raymond Joseph, who's an aerospace engineer, and Elaine Agnes Ammerland, who was a homemaker. So her family
was
Catholic.
Wait a minute. I'm sorry. She's born in 64 in Dallas, Texas. When was Kennedy shot? When he shot?
You know what? You're asking me questions like I'm a historian.
Oh, I'm
and
sorry.
You know, I'm a hashtag not historian. Okay. It was
I'll
like in the 60s
so
at some point. You look it up. I passed the test and then I moved on. Okay.
And okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And yes, I think it was a conspiracy. Okay. Obviously. because he couldn't have had that angle. Okay. So she went to a Catholic school. Mm-hmm. She was valedictorian of her class. Now, side note, when she was 14 years old, her father brought home, I mean, I think they had money, right? Money begets money.
Yeah, aerospace engineer. Yeah, they were doing okay. Yeah.
They're doing okay. Right. So he brought home an Apple II. Now, if she's 14, this is like 1980. So if you were around back then, which I surprisingly was, I know I look so young, you would know that a computer in your house is a very big deal at that time. That was some rich people shit, you know?
Yeah. Or they had the big ass ones at her dad's like job.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That's the only place you could find one. Yeah.
And there was a teacher, Mrs. Bauer, who advocated teaching computer science at this all-girls school. So she was already like, oh, just because I'm a girl doesn't mean I don't have a brain. How novel, right? So novel. Okay. So she developed an interest in computer games and BASIC, the programming language. I remember BASIC because I remember my mother was also really interested in those things. And so she studied that stuff. So she graduated valedictorian from Ursuline Academy of Dallas in 1982. She then earned her bachelor's degree in computer science and economics from Duke University in 1986. And then an MBA from Duke's, I'm going to say this wrong, Fuqua School of Business. Everyone who went to that school of business is laughing at me right now, but F-U-Q-U-A. You tell me how to say it. Okay. So she graduated that in 1987. She was a member of the Kappa Alpha Theta sorority, Beta Rho chapter. I was never in a sorority, so I don't know what it is I just said, but.
All I know is the ones from, I know the historically black ones, but I know the ones from Legally Blonde.
I was literally going to just say that because that's pretty much what I know. And then
we're
awkwardly, awkwardly Revenge of the Nerds, which I probably should not have watched when I was a child.
The nerds. Nerds rule, man.
Nerds. Yeah, they do. Yeah. But also not an appropriate movie for your children. Okay.
Oh, no. That's porn. It's porn.
It's porn. Yeah. Okay. So that was, oops. Well, here we are. So her first job was tutoring children in math and computer programming. So after she graduated, she became, this is the job during school, right? She became a marketing manager at Microsoft, and she was responsible for the development of multimedia products. So those included Cinemania, Encarta, Publisher, Microsoft Bob, Money, Works, which was Macintosh, and Word. Now, do you remember these? I remember some of these. I didn't know what they meant, but they were like on the screen and you could click on it.
On the screen and you could click on them. Yeah.
Yeah, right?
That basically sums up early computers before like 2010.
Sure. So, but she's way smarter than me, and that's fine. I'm okay with that.
You and me both, you know. Sister. I'm like, that's, you were saying all this stuff, and I was like, my brain hurts, and it's not just the cold. It's
I said too many big words. I know. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I wanted to be an astronaut, but I don't want to learn the math. What? No.
This is problematic for you.
I
hear you. She also worked in Expedia, which I'm like, oh, Expedia, because like I love Expedia every time I like
Expedia.com?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Oh. Yep. Okay.
And like early Expedia.
Okay.
So
okay,
now
okay.
It's the Expedia. But it was like the early version. So in the early 90s, she was appointed as general manager of information products, a position she held till 1996. Now she started dating, I don't know if you've ever heard of this man, Bill Gates. I don't know. This is some white man.
This is, yeah.
Something like that. In 1987, she had met him at a trade fair in New York. In 1994, she married him in a private ceremony in Lanai, Hawaii. So she left Microsoft in 96, like reportedly to focus on starting a family. That's
okay.
What she did. They, side note, had three kids, Jennifer, Phoebe, and a boy named Rory. She served as a member of Duke University's Board of Trustees from 1996 to 2003. She attends an annual, some of this is like a Bilderberg Group conference, and has a seat on the board of directors of Graham Holdings, which was formerly the Washington Post Company, since 2004. She was also on the board of directors at drugstore.com, but she left in 2006 to focus on philanthropy. Okay, so I'm saying all of this because she did that. I don't know what a lot of it means, but, you know, remember when I said I wasn't a historian? I'm not. So that's a fact, but I'm not going to stress about it. She did those things.
And neither am I, because you know how I gave you a little, teasing you a little bit about the JFK assassination? Yeah. I should know this. Yeah. It was in 63, not 64.
It was in 63.
But it was in Dallas.
That's what I said. I said it was in 63. Didn't you hear me?
I didn't. I'm sorry.
It's okay. I'm kidding. I didn't. Yo, like I was totally just kidding, which is funny because
that could have happened.
We're recording and we can prove me wrong.
Oh my God. Now you're making my nose hurt.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That was mean.
No laughing on this comedy podcast.
No, never. I would never.
My nose hurt.
How dare I? Okay. So since 2000... she has been in the public eye, and her quote from her, "As I thought about strong women of history, I realized that they stepped out in some way," end quote. So this is what inspired her to shape and advance the goals of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation to be publicly recognized. So they've won so many awards. And the only reason I'm going to really talk about these awards is because they also tell you kind of what they did, right?
Right, right.
So they were each honored with, I think this is important now, especially, an American Library Association honorary membership. Because we need our libraries.
Yep.
So that's cool. We can like look up to them for that. Did I say them? I meant her, because I don't, you know, anyways. Sorry. We'll find out why I have so many feelings later. They both received in 2002 the award for greatest public service benefiting the disadvantaged, an award given out annually by Jefferson Awards. Now, they were both named Time Persons of the Year in 2005, along with Bono. Okay.
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 Yeah.
I get behind that. And they, okay, they received a lot of other things. I'm not going to go into it. All over the world is sort of the point, right? They went, like, the Spanish Prince of Asturias Award for International Cooperation. Cool, yeah. Cool. You know, like, a lot of, like, things that we don't, I don't even know what they are. The insignia of the Order of the Aztec Eagle with Bill. He was also awarded a placard of the same order for a philanthropic work around the world for health and education. Yeah. So, yeah. Good stuff. In May 2006, she chaired a campaign for the hospital to fundraise $300 million to expand facilities. This is in Seattle, for Seattle. I think it's Seattle Children's. I'm not 100% sure, but it's a hospital in Seattle. I know that. To fund undercompensated and uncompensated care and grow the hospital's research program to find cures and treatments. And that's the shit we need to be doing.
Yeah.
That's right. The shit that matters in this fucking country. There are feelings about that. So.
Rich white ladies using their powers for good.
There you go. There you go. She received an honorary doctorate in medicine from the Karolinska Institute in Stockholm, Sweden in 2007. They both received honorary degrees from the University of Cambridge in 2009. And they have a benefaction of $210 million set up in 2000 for the Gates Cambridge Trust, which funds postgraduate scholars from outside the UK to study in the university. That is also the shit we need to be doing. Yes. Okay. Yep. If you're a billionaire, do this shit.
Yeah. Just help. Please. Spread the love around. Help people.
I'm just like definitely sure that billionaires are listening and they're going to be
inspired. Because money can be helpful. You know?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
There's some brilliant mind out there that can get us to Jupiter, people, and all they need is a scholarship sometimes.
Right? And Lovetta so really wants to go to space, so we could...
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Hurry that up.
And when I die, to spread my ashes out in space.
Are you telling me this?
I'll become part of the universe, and then maybe a part of an alien culture would have some of my DNA in it. Yes. Yes. See?
Please don't make me responsible
for
shooting your ashes into space when I'm like 97.
Just put me in a little pocket, of an astronaut, preferably a female astronaut. But
yes,
I won't be picky.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Good to know. Y'all heard it here. Okay. Final wishes.
But I'm getting to space before I die. I'm just saying.
Okay. Like, I'll miss you.
That's going to happen.
You text me when you get there. Okay.
Okay. Yes, I will.
Appreciate it. I want pictures.
Okay.
So in 2010, Warren Buffett, Bill Gates, and Melinda. Now, if you look this up, it's just Warren Buffett and Bill Gates. Okay.
Really?
But it was Melinda too. Okay. That's why I'm yelling right now. Sorry. They created a campaign called The Giving Pledge. Have you heard of this?
No. I'm sure I have, but no.
So it's a pledge that they are asking other fellow billionaires to sign.
Yes, I have heard this. Yes.
Okay. So the idea is that they contribute a majority of their wealth, which is like, y'all, a majority of their wealth would mean 51%. That's the majority. Okay. So like, so if you have $17 billion, you have $8 billion left. So you're fine.
Try $123 billion. So that means you have... See, yeah, math is not my strong suit.
I don't know why you said 123. That's a challenge. That is a challenge. I don't know.
60 something million. It's a billion.
Billion.
Billion left.
You could still buy 17 planes. Okay.
Yes, you could.
So 236 people have signed it from 28 countries. However, there's no like enforcement policy, but also there's no deciding on what is philanthropy. So, like, I gave all my money to T-Dog. Are you donating your money. You know what I'm saying? Like, let me give it to the KKK. Okay, so you know what I'm saying? Like,
oh, wait a minute. Who is T-Dog?
There's no... It's Trump. I hate saying his name.
Oh.
Don't make me say his name. He's the orange one. He spews bullshit all the time.
I was like, have you been hanging out with the Bloods in the crib? Who is T-Dog? Okay, I got you now.
I really like that was kind of an option for you.
Oh my God, it's hilarious. I got Kendrick Lamar still on the mind, but.
Okay. That's fair.
Yeah. Oh, you know so it's saying? Like.
So there's no regulation as to like.
Or it could be, you know, I gave $100 million to some ladies of the evening.
There you go. That's what I'm saying. Like, gave it away. It's not with me anymore.
Mm-mm. I have some fat ass strippers get into college by giving them money to twerk for me. Okay.
I mean,
okay.
I'm not mad at that. But
technically,
you know,
that's philanthropy, you know?
I mean, that's a good point.
Oh my God.
It's kind of
it's
funny
hilarious.
You say that because we'll get back to that in a moment.
Oh, okay.
Uh-huh. So she was awarded Doctor of Humane Letters by Duke University in 2013 in honor of her philanthropic commitment. So in 2015, she founded Pivotal Ventures. This was a separate independent organization that had nothing to do with Bill. It was designed to identify and implement innovative solutions to problems affecting U.S. women and families. Now, it's like, guys, go on the website. It looks fantastic. And she talks about, like, on the website, the different ways of philanthropy. So there's data driven, and there's also something called trust based. And they've always been data driven, but she's starting to venture a little bit more into balance in both trust. So data driven is like, these people definitely we've proven they lack
the
water.
Show.
Right.
Yeah.
The numbers show that this amount of, you know, babies aren't thriving. And so trust based is like, you didn't do a scientific test, but I'm telling you these babies aren't thriving. And you're just like, here's money.
Because I would imagine that the database one takes a little bit longer to process.
Yes.
So it takes longer for people to get the money in their hands. Yeah.
Yeah. And but the need is still just as needy.
But you know? To their credit, you don't just want to be giving money away think it's going to go there and then, and then it's not really helping. Like,
so did you watch the show Loot?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I watched, I haven't caught up on the latest season, but it's actually better than I thought it was going to be. Cause you think, I mean, it's Maya Rudolph. I should have expected it to be wonderful, but I heard it's loosely based on her.
Okay. Because I'm just saying right now, I'm obsessed with Linda Gates. And I think it's because I've been watching the show that's really a documentary about her, because like everything she's doing, I'm like, oh my God, this is in Loot. P.S. Please watch the second season. Please watch the second season. It will give you life. Okay,
yeah,
it's the chicken soup.
It's and I to be fair, I've heard that it's based on Melinda, Mackenzie, Bezos,
and their friendship.
Like, and all of that. Yeah, so it's based on a couple. It's an amalgamation of a couple like former partners of billionaires who they help them create a lot of this wealth, and so
you guys,
have their own foundations.
So good. And she talks about her friendship with Mackenzie, and they were working together. Mackenzie Bezos, which is weird that she does nice things and she's married to Jeff. But again, we're not focused on that. She does more trust-based. And Melinda does more data-driven. But Melinda's starting to do, there's an interview in the New York Times. It's a fabulous interview. Go read it. She talks about how, like, the question is, like, you're not working together anymore. What's the problem? You know, that's not how it was phrased exactly. And she's like, because we're doing something else. Like, it does not everything has to be so complicated. Yeah,
they never
convoluted.
Ask men that question. But
no,
also,
they don't.
Like, I
friends?
Also think Mackenzie has given a lot of money to, like, black places.
Oh, like, she's great.
Yeah, Mackenzie's like, here's the money.
And that's where Melinda's like, I'm not mad at Mackenzie. And she says, like, Mackenzie is still my good friend.
We're
just not on a project together right now.
Yeah. And you need both. It's good.
You do need
both. As long as the money's going out the door, that's the important thing. So
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, she's also been recognized by Forbes as 100 most powerful women. She is a dame. of the British Empire. Obama gave her and the man that she married the Presidential Medal of Honor in 2016.
What did Bill do? You are throwing him major shade.
Should I go cut to that, Chase? Because I can. Oh,
okay.
In May 2021, she and her what's his face decided to divorce in a joint statement on social media. 27 years of marriage, 34 years together, according to the Wall Street Journal. Which, you know, we always have to side-eye a Wall Street Journal situation.
Yeah.
Okay. She'd been meeting with divorce lawyers since at least October 2019. After his business dealings with convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein became public.
Oh, that's right.
And she had warned him about associating with Epstein as early as 2013.
Oh, okay. I forgot about that. Yeah, buddy.
We forget that Bill fucked it up, you know, maybe literally.
I mean, he's also like, dudes, however harmless or unproblematic we think they might be on the surface, there's something about like that toxic masculinity, AKA having a bunch of women around that other men still find like appealing, but I don't know if it's appealing, but like awe-inspiring. It's like, it's not awe-inspiring that you take advantage of young women. That's easy to do. Anybody can do that.
Very easy to
do.
But
I think to somebody like Bill Gates, who probably struggled to even talk to girls, like, it's like, he has all these women around him. And it's like, that is so easy. That's why they always go to children, like, because it's easy to manipulate.
Yeah, they're
like
teenagers.
A 15-year-old. Like,
they're literally children. Like,
yeah. So,
we've legally classified them as children for a reason.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot about the whole Epstein connection. And she's like, motherfucker, I told you.
And my husband did it. My husband would walk away, run away, scream. But like, I was married to a man who did that. I too would immediately go to a divorce lawyer and be like, fuck this shit.
I would put him in a headlock first. And then
I know you would, but I think you're stronger than me.
Well, no, it's just, he's going to let me put him in a headlock because he's probably going to be stronger than me. But because you know, this was done. I told you this motherfucker was shady.
Yeah.
And you didn't listen to me.
Yeah. And she's like, I'm done having to look at you every day. I haven't liked it for 20 years out of the 34.
Because it also could jeopardize all their work. Like, because that association, like with Epstein and his dirty dealings, like,
and she's trying to do so much for so many people and he's fucking it up. And so I see her going like, nope, absolutely not.
And the bad press, because now we know, like, we have a little bit more nuance this many years later, but that was still a time where like even the whisper of like that association could ruin a lot of what you guys have set up. So
I mean, money will get you far, but your reputation is your reputation.
Your reputation.
Even if you're
your
still
reputation.
Going.
Yeah.
Right? Even if you're still doing the thing, it is.
That's
you
know, it's so interesting you said that, Miriam, because that's your reputation is probably the only thing in the world that's more valuable than your money.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. 100%.
Like, and in life, right? That's like, if you have a lot of money but you have a terrible reputation, that affects everything. Your personal relationships, your business relationships, and your legacy, which people with a lot of money tend to
give a shit about that.
Wow.
So that happened. Now I want to talk real quick about like how she viewed philanthropy. So one of the questions they asked her was like, you know, you don't have your name on a ton of buildings. And she was like, I don't want to have my name on a ton of buildings. Like, I would rather, and she jokes about how, like, she knows she has one child that would have actively not gone to a school if their names were on the building. And she felt like, let's not do this to our children, which I think is really interesting. She also, following in the steps of Mackenzie Bezos, they gave their kids an allowance. If it was a big thing, maybe Christmas, maybe a birthday. And I'm like, Melinda and I are raising our children in the same way.
That's so smart.
So we're the same. Only I literally cannot get them the things that they want all the time. And she literally could. But like I give her a lot of credit as a human for understanding that she is in a very, very unique position, but she's raising humans who need to live in this world. And
yeah. And at the same I was talking recently about Candy, Spelling and what she did to Tori, and like, not making excuses for Tori, but basically she kept all the money and didn't give her kids any money. And I'm like, that's you don't have to punish your kids because they grow up with money, but you don't have to enable, like, there's a middle ground. And I think there's Melinda.
And that's the middle ground, right? There you go. Like, you know, because on top of which, like, we'll send you to college. You're not going to have college debt.
Yeah, like, you know, and I'm sure, like we help you figure, also because you're the children of famous people, so you can't be living in, they did a really good job of keeping them out of the public eye. So
yeah, they did.
I wouldn't be able to tell you who their children are if I saw them, like, you know, because it's also Gates is not an uncommon name. It's not, you might joked with them, but I wouldn't necessarily if I met somebody that's like, you know, I just wouldn't think of that. And who knows, they may have gone by their mother's maiden name or what have you, or, you know, the daughters might be married or whatever. Like, so, but I also think that you're going to help your children out. Like, they graduate, like, help them with a down payment on a house. Like, you know what I mean? I don't think that they're
you're
those kinds of parents. Like
that. Exactly. Yeah, yeah. It's just oh, you want 7 big teddy bears? You know what?
Yeah, or you're 21, so I'm going to buy you a $20 million penthouse, like, apartment. Like, that's not necessarily, and they could easily do that, but it's like, do you need a
right? And think about the kind of people you are inspiring, you are raising, the kind of people. Yeah. You got to be mindful of that.
Yeah, but you also don't want your kids to be like, well, you have to go and live in a one-bedroom studio apartment, you know.
Right.
In like Podunk, like, I shouldn't be.
I'm going to give you $25 a month. And
It's just like, you know, you don't want your kids out there living, having to Uber, you know what I mean, to make ends meet. But you also don't want to. Yeah, it's a middle ground. There's always a middle ground. You want your kids to know that they're loved and they'll be taken care of. But, you know.
So I will say also, this is funny. She wrote a book, 2019. Called The Moment of Lift, How Empowering Women Changes the World. Awesome. So apparently former President Barack Obama starred in a comedy sketch to promote it. And I want to find the sketch.
Yeah,
if I find it, it's going on our Instagram. I'm excited.
I love dorky rich people.
I do too.
Because you and I in the industry, we're like, okay, I want to see this. Like,
how are you going to act? Obama.
I know.
I obviously love the Obamas.
Yeah, of course.
And honestly, okay, total side note, Michelle Obama starred in a television show for children called Waffles and Mochi. I cannot believe my brain just pulled it out and remembered that it was called Waffles. It's so good. I need another season. Probably my kids are going to be like, I'm too old for this show. And I'll be like, I'm not too old for this show. And Michelle Obama on this show is a treasure and I could watch her all day long. So if Michelle Obama like wants to be on a show or in a sketch, like any day. Okay. I don't know about Barack. I think
Michelle is better at the acting than Barack. So
that's okay.
I think so. Just saying. Okay. Yeah.
Okay, so she became more political. Now, she was always kind of not political until the Dobbs decision. Mm. Remember the Dobbs decision? I think everyone listening to this podcast remembers the Dobbs decision, right? So she was kind of like, so she's spending her life. People think it's, she has spent her life helping women and girls. So she knows kind of firsthand. She's not in the rich person bubble because she goes to these places and she does the things to help with medical needs for women and girls. So when that happened, she was like, okay, I'm going to endorse Biden in this election. And then when Biden dropped out, she said, cool, I'm going to endorse Kamala. And she has done that. Now, she's not our Democratic Party social hero, because she talks about how she's, you know, sometimes she's vote Republican, sometimes she's voted Democratic. Like, she's not, but now it's really interesting. She's like, now is not the time to fuck around.
Yeah, we're not playing these games this time around.
Yeah. And I love that about her. Now she's like, we got to get a Democratic, hey, woman. That's amazing.
Now I'm interested. Does she vote for Hillary? Yeah. Or is she one of those women who are like...
I don't know. Like, I don't know.
I'm curious.
Because I think that white people in general did not fully grasp the downfall of America a Trump presidency would start. And I'm not saying it's happened. I know that we still have a vaguely stable government. I understand that. Don't come at me. But he put a big crack in it. He put a pretty big dent. And so I think she sees it. And I don't know if she saw that happening before. I don't know. I'm curious.
I also think that someone like her, who's so accomplished and intelligent, and seemingly has, like, not only like book learning, but also right. like common damn sense.
Yes.
Unfortunately, a lot of times I feel like people who are like that, who are also white, tend to think other white people are like that because of white supremacy. And it's just yeah. like you, inherently you think other white people can be reasoned with. Other white people can be da da da. And it's like, nah, there's a big part of the white population in America you ain't never been able to reason with. Trust
no.
us. But yeah. it's just like, it's the reason after, even after the Civil War, when the compromise of, you know, 1900, where they're like,
yes.
oh, we'll leave the South. And, you know, at the heart, the white people are good. And they really think it was just about their economy and da da da. And it's like, no, the motherfuckers set up Jim Crow. It's like, we keeping yeah. our black people as oppressed. We'll take slavery light. It doesn't have to be slavery. And it's like, no, you guys are giving them way too much credit. And that's why sometimes, like, when white people are like, well, sometimes I vote this way. And it's like, you're not being realistic yeah. about what it's like. The reality of the situation is that these MAGA motherfuckers have always been here in large numbers.
Yeah.
They've
yeah.
always been here. But our side has been acting like they're not, the white people on our side. Because black people, like, we know what the deal is. The black voters, yeah. the ones who are actually engaged and not the ones who are online who are probably not registered to vote, so don't listen to them.
No, don't stress about that.
We're like, these motherfuckers have always been there, but it's like, it's the gaslighting. Like, people yeah. are like, oh, no, no, it's fine. It'll be fine. It's just like when he was going to get elected. I told you, I famously yeah. went to a dinner party. And I was like, yo, guys, I'm worried. I feel like I see the way the media is not, they're just assuming that Hillary, she's assuming she's going to win. I was like, I don't know, because I know how, there's. And they're like, no, it's fine. It's going to be fine. I was like, I don't think it's going to be fine.
So much
so
that
I went to bed. I was like, I cannot watch it. Woke up next morning. I was like, motherfuck. I knew it.
I ate tacos and got a UTI. That's what I did.
Tacos and got a UTI. Yeah. That should be the name of your book that you write. I got tacos and a UTI.
Eating tacos thinking Hillary's going to win, right? Because we all had tacos, right? And then I just couldn't leave the television screen to pee because I was waiting for things to tell me better things and they weren't. And so, you know, I had to go to the doctor. Next
so, time. Like, I mean, bless her. And I'm glad that, you know, unfortunately, the things that had to happen to our country for people to wake up, but you know, at least she's awake now. And again, yeah. again, she's well-meaning. And these are like, because I used to wonder, like, the swing voters. I was like, who's a swing voter? But it's people like yeah. her who are like, no, sometimes I vote for this. And, you know, she yeah. probably was raised conservative, you know, like she probably yeah. was raised in Texas. Like, and, but these people have no shame. They have no shame. The other side has no shame. Not the people that you grew up with who voted Republican. Those people had shame and the sense of decorum and decency. This right. is a whole new breed now.
This is, yeah.
And always she, been there though. Yeah.
Listen, at least she gets it now. At yeah. least. And she's been, it's really interesting because there's so many reasons to fight.
Yeah.
For a Kamala presidency, but whatever gets your goat is, and she says, okay, I'm gonna read a quote. She talked about the Dobbs decision. She wrote, this is from the New York Times. After the Dobbs decision, I knew I had to speak out in favor of women's rights. And if there was a candidate who is against women's rights and says terrible things about women, there was no way I could vote for that person. And I felt that that decision, because of all the downstream repercussions it has for maternal health, for Black women, for deserts where women can't even go to now to get good maternal care in the United States, all the downstream effects that are coming and will continue to come from that decision are so severe. I thought, you know, if I really believe in women in our country and women's rights, I need to speak up. And then she goes on to say, because women are the ones who, that are going to make or break this election, and women in battleground states speaking up for what they want, for their rights and for our democracy. That's why I felt it was so important. But yes, it was not a decision I came to easily. So I like her. I'm very grateful to her.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But I'm also wondering, when he ran in 2016 and said terrible things about women then, we could have said something too?
Well, I think it could be, again, her raising. She's raised a certain way.
Yeah.
So it could be one of those things where I'm just going to sit this out, because everyone thought Hillary... It was a landslide.
Yeah,
everyone thought, right?
Like, that's true.
That's what all the polls are saying. Like, oh, she's going to beat him by like 6 points or whatever, or more or whatever. And it could be like, well, I can't bring myself to vote for. I mean, we're putting this on her. We don't know if this is true, but I think
idea.
At that point, she was okay with being, because she also sounds like a very private person.
Yes.
And she is a public figure, even though she's a private person. So coming out politically, is a risk, like she said.
Yep.
But like, people were fucking around and they found out. And we've been saying, Black women have been saying that white supremacy is coming after y'all white ladies. These white men want to put y'all literally back in the kitchen and make y'all barefoot, because they want to force y'all to have white babies because they think they're being outnumbered.
Yep.
And this is assault on y'all. Like, it's they're trying to make it so that any man, any white man who can get a hold of you will have all kinds of rights over you.
Yep.
Like, that's so, really what they're trying to get back to.
Yeah, that is their goal. And it is amazing to me to watch these very
It's not
white
to put
women.
You on a pedestal. It's not.
No.
This is not Gone with the Wind. This is not. That's a fantasy. That was a fantasy. And they are really trying to subjugate you guys. And this whole like attack on women, because they could care less if Black women die or have babies or what have you. Like, this is really all this attack on reproductive rights is against. It's anti-white woman.
Oh, it 100% is, because they want the white babies.
From them. Yeah. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
So, yeah. And Hillary did try to warn everybody. I'm just saying.
She did. She still is.
She told them.
We follow her on Instagram. So.
Yeah. She told
We're
them.
Friends.
Yeah. As far as debates, because I got to get this off my chest.
Yeah.
Y'all fucked over my man Biden. I'm happy with Kamala, obviously. I'm going to get out there and do it. But why y'all got to do my boy like that? Biden didn't deserve that behavior. He had one bad debate and y'all just throw the old man out. Like, he didn't deserve that. Because my point is that Hillary won all her debates. And enough motherfuckers still didn't vote for her.
You
she got
what?
Popular vote, but when it came down to it, she didn't have the electoral votes. So y'all better get out there and vote. Don't take anything for granted. Vote every time. Air time,
like,
as they say.
Like vote blue every time.
Yes.
You know, let me just
we're
going
to be explicit. Yeah.
Clear as day.
Yeah.
Democrat.
Yeah. Again, one can't even read. I'm convinced, allegedly. I'm convinced this man cannot read above a fifth grade level. I'm just, come on now. Who says
daddy?
Bigly? Bigly? Really? Really, really, you? Really? That sounds like a fourth grader to me. I'm just saying.
It is a fourth grader.
Yeah.
And like a not, like a struggling fourth grader. Okay.
Yeah.
I just want to say one more thing about her, which I thought was hilarious. So Elon Musk has to say words out loud so many times. Mm. It's awful. And he like totally attacks her and says like, she's the downfall of society. And the reporter is like, what do you think of that? And her response was, I thought it was silly.
Oh my gosh, she's so classy.
Oh, she just like knocks him down a peg. Oh, and also she has a YouTube channel, a YouTube thing, which is great, called The Moments That Make Us. And she interviews like all the good women, all the cool women, all like,
I love this.
Her goal is to bring these women into conversation. So she's doing the work. Like she's doing the work.
Yeah. And she kind of reminds me of my favorite. Yeah, I think she's my favorite first lady, Eleanor Roosevelt.
Oh my God, totally.
The same thing, comes from privilege. And then she's like, oh, I could actually do more. So I'm going to do more.
Yeah.
Yep.
I really want the third season of Loot to have Maya Rudolph have the YouTube channel. Okay. I really love Loot.
Oh,
please watch
yeah.
it. It's so good.
Somebody, if anybody in the writer's room listen to this, suggest that mm-hmm. in the writer's room. So
also as hires as the writers. Thank you. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you could do that too. we'll come on as a team, a writing duo. I'm just
yeah,
saying.
That's fine. We'll share. That's fine. All right. My writing interview is over. All right. Lavetta, it's your turn.
Oh, so that's, oh, thank you for sharing, Melinda Gates. Thank you so much.
Oh, I need to say, I didn't even say, she has left the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. She's like peaced out. Now she has her own foundation. So now it's just the Gates Foundation.
You know, she is looking at him. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Every time she sees him, she's just like, you disgust me.
Yep. She's like, I don't want my name next to yours. Okay.
And he's like, I know. Listen to your wife. Yep. Yes, when she tells you the first time. Thank you so much for sharing that. She is awesome. We love Melinda Gates. But I believe she's saying it's Melinda French Gates.
It
That's
is
right.
Melinda French Gates. And I'm hoping that she just changes it to Melinda French. I think we could all
get
behind
that. Let's do that. Because yeah. Melinda French, that's an awesome
Beautiful.
Name that yeah. somebody should put in a TV show or a novel. Because that is a wonderful name. Thank you so much for sharing that. I kept interrupting you, so... running a little long, but and also I'm moving a little slow, but bear with me, listeners.
It's fine. I will always love you.
Yes,
go on.
Yes. Okay. So you had a wonderful woman in Melinda French Gates, and who's doing all the good in the world, and
yeah,
not so good one. She's not a murderess, but she is definitely notorious.
Okay.
My notorious woman this week is Heidi Fleiss.
Oh my God. Yeah. You know what's weird is I obviously know who that is, but yeah. I suddenly have no idea who that is.
Well,
I just forgot everything. Let's go.
Yeah.
Let's go.
So,
okay.
First of all, this could be easily a two-parter. So I'm just going to skim over a lot of stuff, especially
fine.
For our listeners overseas and, you know, who are in the East, perhaps they're not very familiar with this, but, or people here in the States and in California who were like, oh my God, I remember that. But like, tell me more. Okay.
Yeah.
So Heidi Fleiss was born on December 30th, 1965. In Los Angeles to Paul Fleiss, a pediatrician, and Alyssa Ash, a school teacher.
Okay.
Now, she was one of six children, and she was raised in the Los Feliz area in L.A.
Okay. Yeah.
So she's a true Angelino, like born and raised, born and bred. And though her father was a prominent physician, Heidi always had the hustle in her. Like she's a nice Jewish girl, and she was raised to be, you know, just looking out. Also, I think it's just her personality that she was very bright and ambitious, but so much so, like for instance, she ran a babysitting business when she was like a teenager.
Okay.
She was in the chess club, and she had a gift for like to gabbing with people. Like she had a great personality, so she's fun, and like so a lot of people talk with her. Like she could get people to open up.
Okay.
But she also, I don't know if she maybe had ADHD or something, just wasn't diagnosed because they didn't do it then, but
they did not do it then.
Yeah, she left school at 16, which again, she comes from a pretty upper middle class family, because again, her father's a pediatrician, and well regarded. Yeah.
A Jewish family in LA that is middle to upper class does not take dropping out of school lightly. I'll say that. It's not, you have burned so many bridges doing that. Okay.
Yeah, that's, I mean, especially, you know, you could see if she's dropping out to work, but I think she said she got bored really easily. Like she tried different things and like, but again, she has a great personality. So people are always attracted to her. And like,
totally had ADHD or has ADHD.
Yeah. And she's like, not lazy because totally. Again, she's always starting businesses. And like, so yeah. I think it's definitely ADHD. And if you see her in interviews, she's definitely given off that energy. So again, she dropped out of school when she was 16. I have a feeling she didn't really tell her parents at first.
Yeah, no, she wouldn't. You wouldn't do that. That's a terrible idea.
She bounced around after high school and, you know, and, but when she was 21, she started dating a much older man by the name of Bernie Kornfeld.
Okay.
And this was probably the beginning of the downfall. And I don't know if this is like, she reminds me of those people who just attracted to what she thinks are like exciting people because maybe her life was too, her home life was a little bit too regular and safe. And like, cause again, she's,
yeah,
her dad's a doctor and like, you know, her mom's a school teacher. So,
oh no, so, I have all this privilege. I'm so bored. Ah.
Yeah. I think really, I think a lot of, she got in trouble because she was bored. I really think she's one of those. Yeah. I've never had this issue at all, ever in my life. No, I wish for the day where I could feel bored at anything at any time in my life. But, so Heidi definitely did. And so she started, dating this guy named Bernie, and Bernie was very wealthy, so he introduced her to a lot of people. So she met a lot of rich people. And like, again, she's from LA, so this is always a stone's throw away, that kind of lifestyle, what you imagine. Yes. And she wasn't, it didn't seem like she probably tried to get into acting or whatever, but maybe her parents were like, no, but she's it's in the business. It's the business is here. So it's all around you. And so it's not like she came from humble beginnings and then got introduced to money. She had means, but then got introduced to super wealthy people. Right. So, you know, and she seems like the girl that came from a good family, but would be hanging out with the stoners and the kids just because she thought they were more interesting than her own set. That's what she strikes me as. So Bernie introduced her to this lifestyle. They traveled around. He once reportedly gave her $1 million in cash and a car for her 21st birthday.
Okay. I'm definitely hanging out with the wrong people. Okay.
No. This is a cautionary tale, definitely.
Okay.
So,
okay. Go on.
So she was like, yeah, hell yeah. And later on in one interview, she was like, I need to date a guy with money. I can't be dating no broke man. I got enough problems.
Jesus.
It reminds me of that song. I don't know the name of the song, but there's this old like R&B song. Ladies, ain't nothing going on but the rent. And Heidi's like, listen, I got enough problems. Money shouldn't be one of them. So
okay,
it's funny.
Girl.
But also dating really wealthy men comes with its own set of issues. So, right. But because Bernie could not be faithful to her. Of course he can't, because he's an old man dating a 21-year-old and he wants to sling it around. He can afford it. So he literally gave her $1 million worth of cash, like according to one source. Like, okay. So. And this was in the 80s, right? So she was
like $7 million now. That's
it's a lot of money.
Yeah.
So, but she eventually, again, she kind of left interest. And that was her thing. She's like, once I lose interest, I move on to something else. So she kind of realized, oh, he's not going to settle down. He can't be faithful. So she met a man by the name of Ivan Nagy. It's spelled N-A-G-Y, Nagy, but it's pronounced Nagy.
Okay.
A film director. And so she basically left Bernie for Ivan, or Ivan, but it's Ivan from our American tongue. So in 1986, at the age of 22, she was dating Ivan, and Ivan took her to this house and to meet this woman named Madame Alex, who by the time had basically ruled the sex business in Hollywood for about 20 years.
I remember Heidi Fleiss now.
Yeah. Okay. Now, according to Madame Alex, Ivan, quote unquote, sold Heidi to her.
What the fuck?
Who rated her not even a 5 out of 10, like as far as looks or whatever.
Oh my God.
Heidi disputes this because she says that basically later on in life, she realized that Madame Alex and Ivan were basically the same person and they would have like little petty little grievances. And she kind of got in the middle. She became like a tool for them to get back at each other.
Okay.
And so Heidi, now Ivan was a legitimate director. He had released like legitimate mainstream films, but he also, by all accounts, allegedly had some shady dealings, maybe with running girls, maybe with drugs, who knows. He is a shady kind of guy. I think we could say that legally and like, but allegedly I'm saying it here. So, but at this time, again, she's 22, young, pretty thing. Okay. Like, even though Madam Alex was like, you're a 5 out of 10. And it's so funny because looking back, you're like, she's not unattractive. She kind of reminds me of like, oh, who's my girl? Oh God, Waiting for Guffman. She was in Scream. She's like a indie darling.
What's her name?
Parker Posey.
Yes.
She kind of reminds me of a young Parker Posey. They actually look very similar. They have dark hair.
I know exactly why she was told you're a 5. Because if a woman wants to control another woman, and this has happened to me, the greatest way of doing that is telling them, I'm preying on a woman's natural insecurity. I had a woman, I teach fitness, right? And this other woman was trying to control. So I've been doing it for years and I'm very good. Okay, I'll say it. Right. And so she didn't like that because she was new. And so she said something. She's like, well, I know it's hard, like, you know, with your body type to get people, but it's okay because I could tell she wanted to control it. And I'm just so proud. I was just like, no, I love my body. My body is great. I'm just new here. And then I ended up being way more successful than her. Thank you for letting me tell that story. Appreciate it.
Also, I think there was some like anti-Semitism coded in there. And you know what I mean? Like it's that kind of thing. And you're in LA and Heidi has very dark hair and like, but she reminds you of Parker, like a young Parker Posey. They look very, very similar. She could have been Parker Posey's like stand in basically.
And like Parker Posey is very pretty. Anyway.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And so, but according to Heidi, so again, she disputes that Ivan sold her or whatever, but again, basically, Ivan and Madam and even Heidi are all unreliable narrators.
Got it.
So you have to always take whatever they say with a grain of salt.
Yes. Okay. Got it. Okay.
So now of her relationship with Madame Alex, Heidi would say that it was, quote, very intense relationship. And it was kind of like, but Alex of her said it was kind of like a daughter that she loved and hated. So it was abusive at times and loving at the same time. So that's, it was like really a very unhealthy, toxic,
terrible
relationship. But you see, and then later in an interview, Heidi did say that, again, she grew up in LA. She always heard about Madame Alex because, you know, she's like, people talk. Yeah. She had always heard it, but she had never met her. So she knew exactly who she was meeting. So the idea that Ivan was selling her to Madame without Heidi knowing it doesn't really track, because Heidi's like, of course everyone knew who this woman is, but so I was very excited to meet her, right? Like, because again, Heidi comes from like a protective, privileged background, and she's with the folks, the real folk, right? Like the real folk on the ground. So it's exciting to her in a way, right? And she also said that hanging out with Bernie early on, she always noticed that there were always really, really rich men, usually older, and a lot of really pretty young women around.
Yeah.
And again, it goes back to her. She had a babysitting business when she was a kid. And she said she learned early then that, let's say Friday night she wanted to go out and she couldn't do it, she would call up a girl, like she knew so many girls, because again, I have a feeling she's very popular because she has a great personality, that she'd be like, hey, do you want to do this thing? And then she would collect like her percentage off of it.
This is the babysitter's club.
This is the babysitter. Right.
Yeah.
But yeah. So she always knew, she learned early on that she had the gift of gab, and like whatever she quote unquote lacked in looks, she made up for because she had a great personality.
Okay.
And confidence. So Heidi, I feel like Heidi kind of clocked the situation. I have a feeling, it's my feeling, just my opinion, because this is all alleged, that Heidi kind of was in on it, but Ivan and Madame thought she wasn't because she was so young. So they thought they were going to take advantage of her, but she... Heidi was like, this is how I'm going to make money, bitches. This is what I'm going to do. So she also said that she talked to Madame, and basically Madame's business was waning because a lot of the girls that Madame had on her roster were getting older and they wanted to retire because, you know... Yeah.
I get it.
Hoeing is hard work. I'm just, I don't think I could do it. I'm just too lazy. I find most men disgusting, but that's a whole nother story. So, there's very few men that I don't find physically repulsive. So
Honestly, the same.
Like there's a few that I'm like, okay, but most of them I find physically repulsive. But she disputes also Madame, and Madame says that Heidi worked for her for about 18 months. Some okay. reports say that Heidi disputes that.
Okay.
You know, she's like, do you think Ivan would put up with that? Or like, but who knows? That's kind of vague. But in any case, she worked with Madame Alex and she realized that, we'll bring in young girls. Like, cause again, her time with Bernie, right. She knew it's like, this is easy. Like, we just need to recruit young girls. And again,
it's not babysitting.
Yeah. But she could attract young women who came here to be actors or like who need money. Right. So she got to work to find some girls. She was not into like the old school, you know, forcing girls or whatever. She made it seem like fun. Right.
A choice.
Yeah, exactly. So she basically revitalized Madame Alex's business. But three years later in 1990, she began her own. She broke away from Alex. I think it was like they got in a fight or whatever. She struck out on her own and started her own business.
Okay.
And according to Heidi, she made her first $1 million only 4 months after starting her new business.
Lavetta, that's very lucrative. I feel like I'm starting the wrong businesses.
I just don't have the stomach for it. And I just,
I would also shoot so many people that piss me off, you know?
Cause yeah, I'm going to get into like, there's always a downside. So according to her, again, she made $1 million within her first 4 months. And she said on her slowest night, she made $10,000.
Damn.
Now it was reported that her rate was $1,500 a night was the base rate.
That's you know what? That's low for me. That's very low. That's like if you want to look at me for 5 minutes and you're gross. Like if you're a gross person. Oh, Lavetta's coughing. Kutsi. Are you okay? She'll survive. I'm just going to keep talking. Kutsi.
I hate colds. So $1,500 in 1990, though. So $1,500 is a lot of money. For a night.
But is it the whole night?
Yes. And that is why some of the girls were like, hey, that's a good rate. But one girl was saying in an interview, I'd rather get $500 to just have a nice dinner with somebody.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then maybe fool around a little bit and then leave. Versus we're like, one girl complained that basically a lot of times the guys just wanted you to watch them do drugs all night. Ew. It'd be all night. But it was $1,500 a night plus tip. So
oh,
a girl could
tip.
Walk away with $2,000, $2,500, whatever. And Heidi's cut was reportedly around 40%.
Damn.
So.
What? That's some bullshit. Yeah.
So according to, again, some of the girls, and now she had a specialty because, again, she's realizing she's a brunette. Most of her clients, according to some reports, were Arab businessmen who were visiting L.A., studio executives, yes. And actors.
Okay. Yep.
So, and one girl said that the Arab guys especially wanted an all American. They didn't want the girls to show up in like high heels, red lips. Oh, excuse me. I'm so sorry. They wanted all American California blonde hair. Oh, they wanted you to show up like looking like fresh face.
Okay.
Like pure, like not like in high heels all done up. They wanted you to show like probably like. Not a bikini, but like shorts and like tennis shoes, like what they think a California beach girl looks like.
So like not you or me. Okay.
Not you or me, but also not like they didn't want somebody all done up. They wanted like, again, somebody who seemed like she was just a girl who's like trying to make extra money. It's all in the fantasy. Right. Which was so interesting because one girl was like, yeah, I dyed my hair. And like, she's like, I dyed it. Like, she was like, yeah, they only wanted blondes. And she was like, but then like they would fly. Yeah. So I'm gonna get into that. So that's basically what her clientele base was.
Okay.
Again, she's learned this from her time with Bernie. She's making so much money, Heidi. She said things were going amazing. After only 1 year, she was so successful that she could turn down a bunch of young women who were now at this point like vying. Because again, let's say you want to, you say, I'm going to do it for 6 months. You're making $2,000 a night. I don't know. You're making, I don't know. What is that? Let's say you work Friday, $10,000 a week, $40,000 a month. You do it for 6 months. Right. And that's in 1990. Like, let's say I'm going to do it for a short time. Again, I don't think it's easy money because you have to sleep with gross men. But that's a whole nother story.
It's not easy money. It's the hardest money you'll ever make.
I want to drive that home because I feel like when people talk about sex work, they make it sound like it's easy. No, you have to have sex with strange men who you never know what they're going to ask you, who are probably gross. And if they're handsome, good looking and attractive, they might have you do something that's really, really gross that makes them disgusting. So it's not easy work. I hate when people make sex work seem like it's easy. I'm not denigrating it. Some people enjoy it. And I think the people who enjoy it should be doing it.
They're but the ones who should do it. Absolutely.
Easy work. It is not easy work. So by things were going great for her. So by age 25, Heidi Fleiss was living above the Beverly Hills Hotel and getting ready to buy her new home directly from Michael Douglas.
Oh my God. Okay.
And sending girls all over the world. So basically the guy would be like, okay, I need three girls in Paris. The you know, the plane ticket would be waiting for them when they get there.
Damn.
So, but like all good things, like every sequence in a drug movie, things are going good until they're not.
Right. So
in June of 93, she was arrested on charges of drug and pandering, which I don't even know if that's still on the books. Basically, pandering is pimp. It's called pimp.
Well, that's what she was.
P-I-M-P. Pimp. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Charges of drugs and pandering with federal charges of tax evasion and money laundering being filed the following year in 94.
Okay.
So basically from 90 to 93. So she had been working with Madame for 87 and 90. She struck out on her own.
Right.
3 years later, she gets arrested on these charges. Okay. So after her arrest, she became public. This was like huge, huge, huge scandalous news. It was everywhere. Inside Edition, Entertainment, all this stuff, because it was a Hollywood scandal. Because again, according to some reports, most of her clients were Hollywood connected. Okay. Now, she was bombarded by the press and offered interviews. According to reports, her business reportedly had numerous, like I said, prominent and wealthy clients. Some of them may have been. Now, it was one report that she was on the payroll. I think this is more of a rumor of Columbia Pictures at the time.
Oh,
but
God.
A bunch of high profile
executives
did resign. So.
Well.
Yeah. Now, she also developed, because again, she's not a bad looking woman at all. She's an attractive young woman making all this money. But she also, she had this like very stereotypical smirk. If you know women like that, you kind of, I'm like, oh, I know. Yeah. I grew up with a girl like that, like who, but she was a media darling because she handled it. She also seemed like, I'm not ashamed of what I did. I made money, bitches. Like, yeah, like that's more normal now. But back then that was like, oh my God, she's admitted. Like, she was just like, and she, the fact that she was so young, because she wasn't a man. And, or an older woman who you associated with being a madam or whatever. She was like as young and hot as the girls that were working for her.
Yeah. That was what was like. It was like, I remember like it was hard to hate her.
Yeah.
You know, like as a woman, you're just like, oh, you know, because she wasn't, it wasn't a trafficking situation.
No.
She was offering them a job.
Yeah. She was turning down girls, actually.
Oh,
like she was turning down like, no, I don't have room for you on my roster, or I could be picky or what have you. Right.
Okay.
So but she accepted some interviews, but she would be coy in the interviews. Always this her typical her signature smirk, they called it. She was termed all kinds of things. Hollywood madam. You know, that kind of thing. So it's but she would always say she wouldn't reveal names and she'd be like, it's not my style, quote unquote. And just that little smirk.
Good
also, it's like. You need to keep that in the chamber. You might need to use that later.
Exactly.
But it wasn't just her. Other people around her started explaining the situation. Ivan, Madame Alex, who was pissed at her because basically she was like, she learned my business and stole it away from me. And it's like, girl, it's time for you to retire. So
Yeah.
Now, her mother, also Heidi's mother, did interviews as well as friends.
I got to know what her Jewish mother thought of her daughter.
She defended her. Yeah, but it's like, Mom, why are you doing interviews? Like, just don't say anything to the press. But people can't resist. Again, they are from L.A. So it's like, oh, my, you know, and the 90s were crazy. All kinds of stuff was happening in the 90s.
Oh, yeah.
And Ivan even sold pictures of her, nude pictures of her, to Penthouse.
I remember that.
So everybody's getting in on it. But one thing we have to keep in mind, this is like sex work. This is real life. And it's not glamorous. It's not easy money. This is terrifying. And one interview after her arrest, and, you know, where she's going through all of this, and I think getting a clearer picture of, like, the seriousness of her predicament, she said, quote, "I'm definitely a target. It's the boys club. The boys protecting the boys. Mm-hmm. I'm 27. I'm scared to death of what I'm facing. And here are these boys laughing at home, playing, all these rich, powerful men getting to do whatever they want," end quote.
That's right. She's right.
She is 100% not wrong. Mm-hmm. Now, according to the documentary, Heidi Fleiss, The Story of a Hollywood Madam from Absolute Documentaries, there were rumors, like I said, about the Columbia payroll. And she basically was saying, so because of they reported on this, what she was just saying about, like, they are just throwing her under the bus to protect their own asses.
Yeah.
And then the powers that be who may own these tabloid places are also helping their friends out. Pay for play. That's what we, you know, we now know what was happening with Trump and, like, you know, all of his stuff. Like, they're trying to protect their buddies. But again, to her credit, she never shared her black book publicly.
That's amazing that she didn't. Yeah.
So there were numerous other makeshift documentaries, many, many magazine covers, tabloid covers, news coverage. It was a media frenzy. But at the core of it, it was a woman being brought up on some serious, serious charges, even though it was sensational. So during her state trial, because it was such a high profile case, it sped it up. Like, they actually had the trial that same year. Some of the reported names in the book, a.k.a. her clients, testified against her, including Charlie Sheen.
What?
Yep.
I don't remember that. Oh, my God. Yep.
Charlie Sheen famously came out and did it as well. And she was like, she was so pissed at him because she wasn't naming names, but they were ragging on her and actually testifying against her.
That's crazy. Charlie Sheen, really?
Charlie Sheen.
Really, Charlie? Okay.
Yeah. Eventually, she was convicted by a jury of 3 counts of pandering. Again, pimping, a.k.a. pimping.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But in 1996, her state conviction was overturned. But not her federal charges, because she was convicted of federal charges of tax evasion and sentenced to 7 years in prison.
Whoa. That is a long time.
Yeah, the feds, man. Don't fuck with the feds.
Yeah.
She served 20 months at the Federal Correctional Institution in Dublin, California, and was released to a halfway house in November of 1998 and ordered to perform over 300 hours of community service. Now, after her release, she stayed in the public eye, and so did the interest in her life. She struggled with drug abuse personally. I have a feeling the drugs probably started and hanging around with people doing a little cocaine here and there and that. But then going through this and going to prison, she said when they convicted her, she was so shocked. Like, in the state, she was like, "Are you fucking kidding me? Like, really?" She was so shocked. But it was the feds that's where she had to do the time.
I gotta say, they didn't like a woman doing a man's job.
There's always that. Yeah. But again, after she was released, she struggled with drug abuse personally. But she also, because Heidi's like, "I need to make this money." Like, she all about the Benjamin. So she opened a fashion boutique. She hosted and produced, along with reality show personality Victoria Sellers, an instructional video titled "Sex Tips with Heidi Fleiss and Victoria Sellers."
Oh my God, get it, girl.
Yeah, in 2001. And remember, I was telling you, she was like, "I cannot be dating no poor man." Like,
yes.
So, unfortunately, she also dated Tom Sizemore, who was a phenomenal actor. But
I love him.
He like her, also had struggles with drugs.
I didn't know that.
And he was also charged with domestic violence against her in 2003.
I missed that.
Yeah.
Okay. He shouldn't.
Now, according to her in an interview with.
I don't love him anymore. Okay.
Cool. Yeah. It's so sad. Like, it's drugs, man. Stay away from drugs, people. It takes all your light away from you. According to her, though, she's making a little bit of excuses for him, but she did say in an interview with Crime Watch about 10 years ago that the drugs contributed heavily to the violence and downturn of their relationship. I'm like, you think? She also, there's been plenty of movies and TV shows. Well, not so many TV shows, but movies, like I said, and documentaries about her. And again, one thing about Heidi, because she was like, I got into this business really young. Like when I got out, she's like, I had no skills. Like, so what else am I going to do? But she was like, let me just go back to what I know best. So in 2005, she announced plans to open a brothel in Nevada, where it's legal.
Okay.
And she was going to name it Heidi Fleiss's Stud Farm. But it's like I might actually go there and just check that out because I'd be so curious. But in 2007, she also opened up a laundromat named Dirty Laundry in Parhump as her plans for the brothel had been put on hold due to slight complications. But by 2009, she had abandoned her plan to open up the brothel because she just didn't want to deal with the business. And but also there is a bunch of stuff. So when she went to Nevada, she famously hooked up with the guy who is the head of the Bunny Ranch out there. And so she was helping him kind of set up a better, more basically an upscale like community. It doesn't have dark, dingy rooms. So they did renovations. There's an interview with him on that. So she offered her expertise. I believe they dated. But she said that she also abandoned her plans of opening up a brothel because while she was there, one of the old madams had all these birds, these macabre, like these exotic birds. Oh. Okay. And she was like, Heidi, when I die, I want you to take care of my birds. She's like, hell no. And then the lady died. So she thought it was an omen.
Oh, shit.
So then she just started taking care of these birds. Like, it's like a ton of them. But she also need to make money. So it's like she tried all kinds of things. Like I said, opened up different businesses.
Right.
While there, like I said, she started caring for this old madam's 25 parrots.
25? She eventually
25. Like, it's ridiculous. When you see her, that's you're insane. Like, she's an old, crazy parrot lady now. But she seems to be at peace. She's a vegetarian and she's totally gone like hippy dippy. Like totally hippy dippy. You would never know that this is a woman who was like a Hollywood madam.
Wow.
So I find that interesting. But again, she needs to make money. So how can you make money on these reality shows? So she actually eventually went on Celebrity Rehab with Dr. Drew Pinsky.
I remember this show.
And famously, she like left prematurely because in the 2009 season, she and Tom Sizemore were on it
together.
That's
terrible.
Yeah.
But so, also I would watch the shit out of that. So yeah, you know.
But it's always hard for me to watch people who are addicts because it's just kind of sad at some point because they keep making even more terrible decisions. Like both she and Tom consented to it, and you know, it seemed amicable, but afterwards she said she had mixed feelings about it because I think maybe she felt on the spot. Again, it's a reality show and it's like at some point you're like, am I in a glass box? But again, they get paid to be on these shows. So during the filming of the program, she left the center just maybe being triggered by all of this and then was in a car accident near a home on her way to her house. So she eventually returned back to rehab. Now, after completing this, she went back to her old things and she hooked up with a guy, like I said, from the Bunny Ranch. It said that they became engaged, but in interviews since then, she just refers to him as her friend.
Okay.
So I don't know if that's, you know.
That didn't work.
But
so
I'm like, girl, you cannot be dating pimps. Like, no. Girl, like.
No.
Don't like or pimp adjacent dudes like that is not.
Listen, I want you to look at like an accountant. Okay.
Yeah.
Come on. They have money. It's fine. They have consistent money. You know,
like
pimps just, do not have consistency, okay?
But I also think part of the appeal is that she likes being around these kinds of people, and that's what led to her downfall. Because if I had started dating a rich old guy, first of all, I wouldn't have. But
I see
pretty girls around, and there's probably people running girls, that would turn me off so hard. Like when he gave me that $1 million, I would have taken that, invested, and
like,
left his
okay,
ass.
Bye.
But Heidi's the type of person that's like, this is exciting. Like, oh, he gave me $1 million. Like, and then she's making her own money. Like, eventually this is all gonna just not end up well, girl. Like, this is just not. But again, she, through her 20s, she's mixed up in all this foolishness and then had to serve time. So she doesn't have any marketable skills other than this. So she knocked around, being on a couple reality shows, including Celebrity Big Brother in the UK. She also attempted to grow marijuana, legal marijuana in Nevada.
Oh. Okay.
She also, interestingly, in 2017, it was reported that she bought and began managing the Flying S Ranch Ultralight Flight Park. So it was a private use airport that had FAA designation of NV-54. So
you gotta get a gimmick.
You gotta get a gimmick, man.
Yeah. Yep. Okay.
So, and after, it's like, she's still taking care of these parrots. She's moving them around with her. In 2022, she announced that she was moving to Missouri because someone had shot one of the parrots because she'd been having interviews about the parrots with a pellet gun. It's so terrible.
That's horrific.
Like, don't do that. There has been a podcast, a iHeartRadio podcast produced about her. So definitely check that out, because I'm skimming just the surface. Like,
that's fine.
It was written and hosted by Molly Lambert. And it's called The Heidi Fly Story. So definitely check that out. Now, in 2023, last year, it was reported that a series was in the works at HBO Max about her life. Mm. And it was going to be being produced by the people who did The Staircase.
Oh.
So, yeah. And as late as last year, she was, like I said, she taped a series of like short videos. I think they're probably, you could probably find them on TikTok or IG, of her talking about her birds. And she's just there. She's a vegetarian. She's there with her birds. But she's one of these, now she's turned into one of those weird, I would say weird white people who love animals way too much.
Yes.
You know, like, but she's still alive. You know, but in closing, I always like to, if I can, close with something about the person in their own words, if I can.
Okay.
So she said in closing, when describing herself, she said in an interview, recent interview, the truth is, quote, the truth about Heidi, I'm not a nice person. I have a terrible reputation, probably most of it well-deserved. I don't know why people think I'm a celebrity. I was just arrested and put on TV. I'll always be the Hollywood madam, end quote.
And
I think that's the appeal of her, because she's also a straight talker. Like,
she's not defending herself, which I actually have a lot of respect for her for that. Like, she's not trying to be like, no. I had such good ideas. I don't know why you think
excuses.
They were bad.
Yeah, like in one interview. Yeah, in one interview, she was just like, they were like, what happened? She was like, she's like, I'm a drug addict. I got on drugs. This is a terrible thing. Like, I kind of like people who are just like,
that's like, what happened.
I made bad decisions. Like, even with like the whole Ivan and Madame Alex, like, because you hear like Madame Alex would say one thing, all this stuff to make herself seem good. And then Ivan would say this thing like, oh, no, I'm fine. And like, he was subsequently arrested on other charges and he died.
No kidding.
I forget when he died, but he died a while ago. So he's gone. But like Heidi, what I love about her is that maybe she's a narcissist, but she was like, I've done terrible things. Like, I'm a terrible person. I probably deserve like this reputation. But like, yeah, and then I got on drugs. Don't do that. Like, I love a straight shooter.
I really do. I got to say, I will not, you know, I love to diagnose medicine inappropriately. I don't think she's a narcissist. I think she's something, but like, narcissists find the light as to what everything they do is the right way of doing
it. That's true.
She's not, she's like, I fucked up. I'm not even nice.
Yeah,
I did it on purpose. And then I did drugs, which is dumb. Like, yeah,
she has that thing that I love. She has that prickly Jewish woman thing going on.
Yes.
but she's like straightforward. I love a straightforward yes. person. Like, but if they can help you, they will help you.
Yeah.
They will go yeah. above and beyond and be like, hook you up. Like, and I also think she has a great personality. She has the gift of gab, but I also don't think anybody forced her into anything. I think that yeah. to her credit, and she, now that she's older, she's like an older woman. She's like, yeah, no, nobody pimped me out. Like, I went, because Ivan, according to Ivan, he felt like Madame Alex kind of lured her in with the promise of making money, and Heidi wanted her own money. But Heidi would tell you, it's like, I like money. So nobody tricked me into doing that. If I did anything, it's because I wanted to make money.
Like, she saw what she was doing. She thought, oh, this is a great business idea. I actually have better ideas to make this business idea great and more profitable. And that's what she did.
And I also think that they couldn't charge her with like sex trafficking. They could charge her with pandering, because she probably literally went up to the girls like, listen, this is the deal. I'm not going to force you to do anything. Some of these guys are gross. You'll make this kind of money. Do you want to do it?
Yeah. I knew. Like, listen, I knew a girl was putting herself through college dancing in Las Vegas. And I remember because we were working together for a little bit. And I was like, what do you do? She's a dancer. We're getting to know each other. And then I said something, well, what style of dance? She was finally like, I'm a dancer in Las Vegas. And I was like, oh. And I said, listen, I'm not here to judge you. Girl. Hey, no,
girl, make that money. And I also feel like, because some of these girls are like, well, it's not some creepy dude who's going to like strong arm me. And like Heidi's like, right. I mean, maybe she yelled at the girls and pulled the strong arm. Like if they're like, I don't even do it. She's like, bitch, I don't like, booked you. And like, you can't pull out now. Who knows? There's tapes out there. Again, she said it. I'm not a nice person.
Yeah.
But I have a feeling they felt like they were probably, she's going to tell them exactly what to expect up front. Versus some sleazy guy that's like pretending like it's one thing and it's something else, because that's how pimps operate. She's like, no, this is what, like, this is a business. Like, do it for 6 months and get out of it. Like, because she can always get, she had no shortage of girls.
You know, the song Easy Money.
Yeah, but you do have to, be like, bitch, I told you to show up. If you're not, going to work for me again. You know what I mean? But she's not going to come around and smack you around. I don't think she was doing that. But, you know, but I like that she was just like, I'm not a good person. I made bad decisions. I probably deserve this terrible reputation. And I shouldn't have got on drugs. It's all my fault. Like, yeah.
Okay. So, I'm not going to be friends with her, but like, right. I respect you for that. You know, like,
I respect a woman own up to your mistakes. And so, she's definitely notorious in the bad way, in the sense, but I also admire the fact that she's like owning up to her shit. Like, I shouldn't have done that.
I wish more people would do that. And so, if Heidi Fleiss can do it, y'all can do it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Because I mean, the men were absolutely closing rank and throwing her out to you know, and she was very angry. And she even said later on about Charlie Sheen, when she found out about his HIV status, she was like, I felt bad for him. She's like, I stopped talking to him. She's like, because I was very young and I blamed him. And, you know, he ratted me out. But like, now I'm older. And she's like, of course I don't want him. I'm sorry that he got HIV. Like, of course I'm not going to be like, oh, good for it. Like, she's like, no, that's terrible. So that's why I like a straightforward person. So, that is Heidi Fleiss, my notorious woman.
Thank you so much for her. That was a journey. I enjoyed it. I feel like I learned so much, and I was like around when it all came out.
Yeah, it's so crazy. And it's a journey. I'm so sorry again. I'm struggling over here. So we will wrap this episode
up. Let's wrap this up.
Thank you so much for listening to us this week. Guys, remember to follow us on all the things. Also, leave us a 5-star review in the Apple Store. If you want to support the show financially, if you have $1 million and you just want to give it to us, or if you know Melinda French Gates and she wants to give us $1 million.
Yeah, just $1 million.
Hit her up.
It's very small. Yeah, let her know.
She could email us, or she could hit us up on patreon.com/notorious women. And that's patreon.com/notorious women. And Miriam, how else can Melinda French Gates or somebody who wants to give us $1 million can contact us?
Listen, Melinda, we have an Instagram page. It is Notorious Women Podcast. It's very easy to find Melinda. Melinda, feel free to DM. You can, and your friends can also DM us, and like all of y'all can DM us. But like, listen, Melinda, if you want to, you know, if you want to give us the love, you can also email us at notoriouswmpod@gmail.com. If you want to just, you know, and if you need our Venmo, we'll let you know from there.
But and we will pay taxes on it.
We will pay taxes.
We don't want the feds over here.
We do not want the feds. Mama's not going to jail. Okay.
Nope.
All right. And that is that.
All right, guys. We will see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Produced by Audavita Studios. Connect your voice to the world.